Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, 32nd chapter, Entanglement and Fruit of Activities, text 19. Nunam daivena vihata yecha chutakata siddham hitta shundantya satkata purisham iva vidpujam. Translation: such persons are condemned by the supreme order of the Lord because they are averse to the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are compared to stool-eating hogs. They give up hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord and indulge in hearing of the abominable activities of materialistic persons. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Everyone is addicted to hearing of the activities of another person, whether a politician or a rich man or an imaginary character whose activities are created in a novel. There are so many nonsensical literatures, stories, and books of speculative philosophy. Materialistic persons are very interested in reading such literature. But when they are presented with genuine books of knowledge like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Vishnu Purana, or other scriptures of the world, such as the Bible and Quran, they are not interested. These persons are condemned by the Supreme Order as much as a hog is condemned. The hog is interested in eating stool. If the hog is offered some nice preparation made of condensed milk or ghee, he won't like it. He would prefer obnoxious, bad-smelling stool, which he finds very relishable. Materialistic persons are considered condemned because they are interested in hellish activities and not in transcendental activities. The message of the Lord's activities is nectar, and besides that message, any information in which we may be interested is actually hellish. Nunam daivena bhata ye cha chutukata sudham hitta shunvanti satkata purisham. Om Ayanati Varandasya Gyananjanan Shalakaya Chakshuram Nirtam Yenatasmaya Shigarayama. Om Ayanati Varandasya Gyananjanan Shalakaya Chakshuram Nirtam Yenatasmaya Shigarayama. This seems to be the theme lately. Been hearing about those who are inclined towards materialistic behavior and materialistic topics. Krishna is being very kind to us, giving us the same message again and again, so that we can firmly understand this point for ourselves, first of all, so that we don't revert back to hellish conditions, and also for our preaching work, so that we understand the situation of those who are not in Krishna consciousness. They are to be pitied and to be given mercy. Kripa Bali Sheshu. Most people are addicted to these things from the very beginning of their lives by bad association. Their society, the leaders of society, the parents, the guardians, teachers, they themselves are misled. Andha yatandaru paniyamana Nibadha. They're bound up by the ropes of material energy. They don't know what the purpose of life is. And so in this way, they pass on this ignorance to their children. And the children just become addicted Srila Prabhupada would like to point out that people are so demoniac that they even feed their babies with dried meat powder just so they become addicted from the very beginning of their lives to eating these horrible things. Well, it's difficult when one is raised in this kind of a environment. The television is always running, and just the television alone is sufficient to keep one bound up for many, many lifetimes in this material world. Because here we have the composite, concentrated nectar of the purisham, as described here. Does anyone remember what purisham means? Yeah. Can't hear what you're saying. Yeah, it's abominable, all right. Stool. It's about as abominable as you can get. But this is what we're ingesting when we turn on TV, when we read the newspapers, when we read novels, when we go to universities and study these books, speculative philosophies, this, that. We have to understand what we're actually getting. According to the absolute vantage point of the Vedas, of the Acharyas, we're getting that which is abominable. It is, and the result is also abominable. We become diseased, and we become like pigs. We were discussing last few days. We just become like a pig. Now, pig, although others think he, you know, they ridicule the pig. You know, they say, "Oh, look at that pig. He's so filthy, and look what he's eating, and oh, look at his behavior, he's having sex with his mother." Oof. But the pig doesn't care. Pig is oblivious. Pig is the perfect oblivious creature. Simply going about, you know, oinking, and they have no shame. The pig has no shame. Not that if you go, "Oh, pig, look at you." He doesn't become shameful and say, "Yes, I think I should try to improve myself. Yes, I should change my ways." No. There's a story about a man who has one ear cut off. So if he has one ear cut off, then he can keep his ear towards the river. Keep that ear, that side towards the river, so it won't be seen. But if both ears are cut off, then there's no hope. He's shameless. He can't keep one ear to the river. So, pigs and materialistic persons are shameless. Both ears cut off. There's nowhere. Everything they do is disgusting. And someone may say, "But why are you criticizing them? Don't you think you're being overly critical? You people also have your faults." Yes, it's true that we are certainly full of faults. So we are in no position to criticize. However, Krishna, who is without faults, who is the supreme pure, he has given his verdict, and the verdict is also being given here by the great saintly persons who are free from any desire to criticize others and have no envy. Dhiradhi rajana priyo priyakaro nirmatsaranam satam. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan are with ideal character. They're popular both with the ruffians as well as the gentle persons, because they're never envious of anyone. So even though Srila Prabhupada himself, you know, strongly criticizes the materialists, and Kapila Dev criticizes the materialists, and Krishna criticizes, it's not just out of a mood of envy or to find fault, but it's out of love and compassion. That by criticizing them, they may be changed. They may be elevated to a position so they can get out of that. And by criticizing them, others can be benefited too. It is stated that we shouldn't criticize anyone or falsely condemn, but to call a thief a thief, there's nothing wrong with that. That's being truthful. So to call a materialist a fool, there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly in order. He is a fool. Why is he a fool? Because he's eating the horrible things. Kadab, Kadaya Bhakshana, is that Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, Kevala, Visharabhanda? One who engages in fruitive activities, Karmakanda, or Gyanakanda, the endeavor for speculative knowledge. Kevala, Visharabhanda, they're simply drinking from pots of poison, and they take their birth, Adhab Janma, they take their birth, and in every birth they simply eat abominable things. It's like, you know, lizards, they're eating flies, and the flies are eating, you know, they're going on the stool, and just, you know, everyone's eating abominable things in all these different species. Spiders are eating, you know, little flies. Something else is eating the spider. Jiva, 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 sajivanam. One living entity is food for another living entity in this material world. But in human form of life, we're not meant just to eat like lower creatures, but we're meant to eat divine food. We're meant to eat food which is first offered for sacrifice to Vishnu. And Krishna says, what happens to those who prepare food only for sense gratification? He says they eat only sin. The little mouthfuls of sin is what they're eating. So we're not simply interested in vegetarianism. Sometimes we may become a little carried away by the sentiment of vegetarianism. But actually, to be a vegetarian is also to eat sin. Whether one eats meat or vegetarian foods, he's still eating sin unless he offers it for sacrifice first to Vishnu. Therefore, we are only interested in teaching people about Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga, pure devotional service, because that will solve all their problems. A good physician is one who cures every last trace of disease of his patient. He doesn't leave, well, we got most of the disease, but don't worry, there's still some left, and it'll probably, it's malignant. No, if he's a good doctor, he'll get rid of all of it. It's like a good fireman. If you have a fire in your house and he comes and then he's driving off and you say, so it's all safe to go back in now? We left a little fire going. No, he doesn't leave a little. So in that way, Narad Muni advised Vyasadeva, you have to give them the complete program for finishing up all this material disease. And that is being described here again. Shrinvanti, Shrinvanti, Chachuta Kata Sudham. the topics, the stories, the nectarine stories about Achyuta. Achyuta is a name for the Lord which means infallible. He never falls down. He never becomes affected. That is the difference between Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna never falls or comes in contact with the material energy at all, whereas the Lord Shiva, he comes in contact, intimate touch with the material energy. So in the material world, that work of contacting Maya is done by Lord Shiva. Hitva shrinvantya satgata. They give up the nectar and instead they enjoy the stool, like the pigs. So we have to be careful, because in this movement we have been saved now from these things. Many times people join this movement out of a feeling of almost desperation. We're so happy to get free from the miseries of material life. And for some time, we may follow strictly the principles, and we may actually give up these materialistic tendencies. But then, if we're not careful, and we again associate, what does it mean to associate? It doesn't just mean you go into a smoke-filled room and sit down with a bunch of materialistic persons. You can associate with them on television or through radio or the books or newspapers. That's also association with materialistic persons. As soon as you pick up these things, you're associating with materialistic persons. And what happens when you start associating with them? Then you start losing your spiritual intelligence. You lose your spiritual strength. And you become again, as Srila Prabhupada said, a rogue and a demon. We were demons, we were rogues. And we can become again very easily. It's not very difficult for us to slide back. We're already accustomed for millions of lifetimes. So we have to be very careful. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked to describe what is a Vaishnava, he said, Asat Sanga Tyaga E Vaishnava Achar. The behavior of a Vaishnava or a devotee of Krishna is one who gives up the association of non-devotees. The materialists keep harping on this point. Oh, you're criticizing us. You're condescending. You're separatist. And so sometimes the devotees become a little intimidated. Oh yes, I guess we should be like them. We shouldn't be so separate. We should merge in. Or shall, what is it? Yes, we should become assimilated. So if we become assimilated, then we become incinerated also. That's what will happen. And our movement will, you know, will not go anywhere. Just as we've seen, today is the day celebrated as Appearance Day of Lord Jesus Christ. So, his teaching, his example was very good, and in the beginning it was strictly followed, but in the course of time, gradually, also the science has been lost pretty much to the point where today we even have leaders of the big institutions in the name of Lord Jesus Christ who openly declare that their favorite food is, you know, veal and eating little calves and things like that and drinking. So this means that they've strayed so far away from the original teachings. And that was, of course, in a period of time where we didn't have such worldwide communications. Now, we can communicate so much information and so quickly that the world can either become very elevated or very degraded in a matter of very short time. There have been more changes in the last at least socially and morally, my goodness. I mean, those of us who are, you know, a little bit older, we remember when we were young, the idea of being homosexual was considered to be, you know, quite unthinkable and unacceptable in society. Now we've progressed so much that it's quite it's even considered almost respectable. They have plays about these things and they're given high awards. That's how quickly things can change in this age. So, although this is a bad age, Kaler Doshi Nide Rajan, it's an ocean of faults, there is one Mahanguna, one good quality in Kali Yuga, and that is that simply by chanting Mahanguna, Kirtanadeva Krishnasya, by chanting the name of Krishna, Mukta Sangha Samachara, one can get liberation very easily. One can attain perfection. But we should be like the swans. Swans are called hamsa. Hamsa. The swan has the ability to take milk from a solution of milk and water. He can leave behind the water and take the milk. But we also have to be able to take the essence of this world, which is Krishna, from everything. Take Krishna out of this world. Just as one who knows the art can take fire from wood or take cream from milk. Saram. Saram means the essence of the cream. So we have to be able to take Krishna Saram, the essence of Krishna, from this material world. And that we learn by serving the spiritual master and hearing from him. We learn how to do that because he's learned. He knows the science. That's why everyone was so appreciative of Srila Prabhupada, because to meet someone who could live in this world, and he showed he could live in the most disgusting parts of this world, the Bowery, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, anywhere, Calcutta, anywhere in this material world is horrible. But yet he was untouched like a lotus flower. Padma. Padma is a word that means lotus flower. It means one who grows from the mud. So even though the lotus flower is growing from the mud, it's above the water. It's untouched. So we must be like that. Padma. Untouched by this material world. And we have the example of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Jesus Christ, who showed us how to live in this world without being affected by it. And we should make this determination, I'm not going to become infected again by the same material disease which I've given up. I've given these things up to come to Krishna. Now let me not go back again. That would be a great misfortune. Of course, Maya is always calling. We were talking the other day that coming to Krishna consciousness means, yes, we're getting cured from our disease, but actually we have to tell everyone that you never really become cured as long as you're in the material. You should never think yourself cured. Just like in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, the first thing they tell you is you'll never be cured from being an alcoholic. You'll always be an alcoholic for your whole life. And you have to recognize that it's never going to be a situation where you can be complacent and think that you have no trouble anymore or you have no taste. You will always be attracted to drinking alcohol through your whole life. That's what they tell them. And as soon as you let down your guard and as soon as you become a little lenient, and you go into one bar and have one drink, you're finished. So similarly, we should be afraid of Maya. Prabhupada said that you Westerners, one of your big faults is you're not afraid enough of Maya. And who is it? Prahlad Maharaj, he says, I'm not afraid of there's different stories, but anyway, he was saying he is afraid, not afraid of death or anything, but he's afraid of Maya. So that is a devotee should have a healthy regard for Maya and not be careless in any of his activity. It is a science and it has to be followed. It's like if the doctor gives a formula, what is it, prescription medicine, you have to take it exactly according to the prescription. You cannot experiment, I'll take, instead of 2 every 4 hours, I'll take 4 every 2 hours or something. You have to do it accordingly. You can't say, I'll go for 3 days and I'll skip 3 days. So are there any questions on this point? Yeah. My master what? So what does it mean, resurrection? Does it mean that the body is... First of all, we know the soul never dies. So there's no question of death. So what dies then? Simply the body becomes unusable. So what is their idea? That after the body became unusable, then the same body was used again, or another body? They're not sure. I'm asking you. You're speaking on behalf of what their theory is. We know the soul is eternal. And we know the soul takes on different material or spiritual bodies. Of course, the spirit soul itself has its own spiritual body. It has its own spiritual form, Satchidananda Vigraha. But we know that when the spirit soul is not in his pure consciousness, he becomes covered by different material thought forms. So, as far as first you asked about the cyclic succession, of course we're not experts in that, but from what we have heard, he also accepted the teachers before him. He said, I've not come to give something new, I'm giving the same teachings. And as far as where they get their teachings, well, that you have to consult them and to find out what their disciplic succession is. But also there's a book that describes that Lord Jesus Christ went to India and studied under the pundits. So that could explain where he got some of his transcendental knowledge and from other saintly persons. There may be some extraordinary cases where someone is endowed with spiritual knowledge from within. That's not the general program. The general program is that one must hear from a bona fide spiritual master directly and become initiated and things like that. But there may be some extraordinary personalities who are so pure that Lord works through them. And it is true that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Lord Jesus Christ and Muhammad were Shaktivesha avatars. Shaktivesha avatar means They're living entities, like everyone here, but they're empowered. Shakti Avesh means they're empowered with the energy of the Lord, so they can act almost like God Himself, and they can accomplish great things in preaching work. Yes, it's transcendental, but He does come in touch, whereas Krishna is transcendental and He doesn't come in touch. That's okay, He's not affected, but He comes in touch. Whereas Krishna is, He's also transcendental, but He does not come in touch. That's how it's described. The difference is compared to milk and yogurt. Yogurt is nothing but milk transformed by some sour acids. So yogurt is nothing but milk, but it cannot act exactly as milk. There's a difference too. They're the same and they're different simultaneously. So Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna are simultaneously the same and different. Lord Shiva is considered, he's not Vishnu Tattva and he's not Jiva Tattva. He's in the middle, Shiva Tattva. He's the via media, as Srila Prabhupada describes it, between Vishnu and Jiva. It's not easy to understand Lord Shiva, by the way. Many great personalities have tried to understand Lord Shiva's position, and it's not so easy. That's right. That's the explanation. Yes, very rarely. Right. No. But that's all right. Lord Shiva was bewildered by Mohini Murti, but he was pleased after he was thoroughly bewildered and thoroughly brought to humility by Mohini Murti, the form of the Lord as a woman. Because Lord Shiva, being a little proud, was thinking that he could control his senses very well, and of course he can. He's called Dhira. He can control his senses. But he thought that he would not be affected by seeing the beautiful form of Mohini Murti. He thought he could control himself, but when Mohini Murti appeared before him, he lost all of his self-control and ran after her. In fact, he even, Mohini Murti, just to make the point very vivid, she ran right in front of where all the sages were congregated. So Lord Shiva was running after her in this way, right in front of the sages, so everyone could see. But after he realized, yes, I've been defeated by Lord Vishnu. But there's nothing wrong with that, because Lord Vishnu is greater than I. So he accepted defeat by the Lord. The question was, why weren't the sages also attracted by Mohini Murti like Lord Shiva? By Krishna's grace, they were self-controlled. It's not that everyone has to be affected by Maya, or even by... It's stated that in that pastime of Mohini Murti, the demigods also didn't become bewildered. They, of course, everyone could see she was beautiful, but seeing some beauty doesn't mean that one has to think of trying to enjoy it for oneself. That tendency to want to enjoy it is our fall down. That's our disease. But if one is firmly fixed in devotional service, then he doesn't have to fall into that false mentality of trying to be the enjoyer. Even if he sees something like some greatly opulent situation, one may be serving Krishna and great wealth may come through his hands. And we think, well, I'm getting all this wealth, why don't I enjoy it? So easy. Sometimes devotees, you know, they become expert on sankirtan. They think, well, this is so great, I might as well enjoy all this, getting all this money very easily. But then, of course, as soon as they do that, then their chariot comes on the ground. They're not flying anymore. Immaculate conception. Same thing with Lord Jesus Christ. He's not coming by ordinary contact. And actually, Krishna was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva, the pure mind of Vasudeva, into Devaki. It wasn't by ordinary arrangement. Shiva came from the forehead of Lord Brahma. Brahma became angry at the Kumaras when they wouldn't agree to his order to become householders and propagate the universe. They said, "Father, we have to refuse this order of yours. We want to remain brahmacharis." And he became so angry. And he tried to control his anger, but it couldn't be controlled. And Lord Shiva came out from his forehead, mixed blue and red color. Blue and red color. Did they find fault in Lord Chaitanya? Yeah, the materialists, they find fault in Krishna. Jesus, they crucified him. Krishna, they tried to, Kamsa tried to kill him. Lord Chaitanya, they criticized him, they attacked him. They tried to forbid him. Now, this is quite normal for the materialists to oppose the activities of the Lord and his representatives. Yeah, don't be surprised if there's opposition. Yeah. Current news is punak punas charvita charvananam. It's chewing the chewed. There's nothing really new. Basically, even without knowing the news, we can, any learned devotee can tell you what's going on in the world. Lust, anger, greed, envy. Same old thing, nothing new. A boasting, new ways of sense gratification, faster ways to go to hell. So without reading the newspaper, the devotees, look at Srila Prabhupada, he didn't read newspapers. But who was more on top of the situation? Who knew more about what was going on in the world than Srila Prabhupada? And where did he get his information? From these scriptures. Because these scriptures are the Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. This is the news coming from the spiritual world, and the material world is just a little part, a little corner of the spiritual world. See, the idea is not to get news so we can stay in here, so we can, you know, make a nice, comfortable place, but to get news on how to get out. It's like if you're in prison. If you're just only interested in reading the prison news, you know, what the prisoners are doing. Well, today, the prisoner over in cell number 492, while he was waiting in line for his meal, he took a stone that he had kept hidden in his pocket and he bashed the head of the man in front so he could get his bread, his extra bread. And then he was put in solitary confinement. And the warden said, this kind of news, not so. But if you can hear about how nice it is outside, and you know, why we should be attracted and how to get out, that's better. See, a devotee, in the course of his preaching work, he'll find out enough news if he needs to know. He'll find out enough. Just like if we didn't know that Clinton was president, let's say we didn't know, how bad would our situation be? Like, I don't know who the president of Belgium is. It might even be a prime minister for all I know. See, it's a prime minister. It didn't bother me. But because you're from Belgium, you're thinking, oh, he doesn't know, prime minister. And I'm thinking, oh, you don't know Clinton? See, this is all mental. It's all this, isn't it? All this business of news. We've propagandized ourselves into believing that it's important to know these things. But formerly, people didn't know. And they lived. Formerly, people did, there weren't newspapers. How did people live without newspapers? In fact, all that people would know about was just their own little village. They didn't go flying all over the world. Now, of course, we think this is a great accomplishment, great progress. But people were living very happily. In fact, they were living better before all this news. So, this news is not helpful. If it's good news means Srimad Bhagavatam. So if that news is being propagated, that's very good. But news, you pick up the newspaper and you just find out disgusting things and advertisements. And even the things that they pick to glorify in the news, or the things they pick to emphasize, is not good for us to hear. Because their contaminated consciousness will affect everything that they say. Okay. Everything. Now, it's stated that there's no rule, there's no injunction saying that one cannot hear ordinary news. Okay. But for the higher development, Jagadananda Pandit says, Gramya Katha na Shunibe. He says, Gramya Katha means ordinary village talk or news. He said, if you're in the renounced order of life, if you really want to get out of this material world, then you should even give that up, hearing about ordinary news. So we are considered to be, having joined this movement, we have declared that, yes, I want to get out of this material world. Therefore, that instruction goes for us also. Gramya Katha na Shunibe. We don't want to hear ordinary. Because we have better things to do. What difference does it make who got elected as a city councilor? What difference does it make to my life? I want to get out of this place. I'm not planning to stay here. So, however, whatever plans you make for, you know, chewing the chewed, that's all right. I'm leaving. I'm on my flight is going. It's like if they're giving you, let's say you're waiting for your airplane at the airport, right? And your flight is coming in a half hour. And someone comes and says, would you like to buy the airport terminal news? It's all about the news of the terminal and all the different airlines. And you say, no thanks. I say, why not? It's really... you're not interested because you're flying out of that terminal. Never to come back again, Krishna says. I promise, you'll never take birth again in this material world if you come back to me. So why should you want to hear about the airport terminal news? You're passing through. You're on your way out. Let's hear about the news of the spiritual world. Well... question was, some people, some devotees may say we should read newspapers so that the materialistic persons don't think we're fools. So because we read newspapers, they'll think we're okay. They'll think that we're intelligent because we're not trying to please the materialists. We're trying to please Krishna. They may consider us a fool. Madhavendra Puri says, they may consider me a fool. Mugdam maam nigadanti nityanapana brantam mahur vaidika. Mugdam means fool. They may call me a fool. Like what? I can learn, what are some really important things that I... That thing, no one knows what they... What are they? What are these really important things? The award-winning play for Florida was the story of 8 homosexual men going nude on stage. That's the award. That's the news I'm missing out on. Okay. This news I can live without. When Prabhupada explained he was going to America in the beginning, so someone said, "Oh, I'll teach you how to eat with a knife and fork." Prabhupada said, I'm not going there to learn how to eat like they eat. I'm going there to teach them to forget all this nonsense. So that's our mood. We're not supposed to be learning what they're learning. We're supposed to teach them how to forget all that so-called news. Purisham. Purisham. Eva Vidpujaha. This is stories about materialistic persons are like stool for the stool eaters. They give up hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord and indulge in hearing of the abominable activities of materialistic persons. Bhagavatam is not stating clearly enough. It's hitting it right. We don't like to use that expression, but this is hitting the target right in the center of your question. Here's the statement of Bhagavatam. We don't want to give up Krishna Katha to hear these abominable topics if we want to go back to Godhead. Now, if in the extraordinary case where it's actually part of your service, then there may be an exception. There may be an exceptional case. Okay? Just like our Sadaputta Prabhu. He has to read all the most horrible, disgusting scientific theories, and he takes them, and he's not bewildered by them, but rather he figures out a word, what is that expression? There's a certain kind of logic where I take the mortar and pestle and I break your teeth with it. So he's taking their arguments and using it against them to defeat them. So if you can use their news and turn it around, the example is given, a thorn to take out a thorn. If the thorn is put in your arm and you take another thorn to get it out, then that's all right. So if you can actually use it to defeat them, then that's all right. But if you become defeated by it, and if you become implicated and you become materialistic, and you start getting a taste for this purisham, then you better stop, and you're going the wrong way. Okay? If you're becoming enthusiastic to preach and defeat, and if it's part of your service, authorized by your spiritual master, then you may use anything in Krishna's service. Yeah. Yeah, primarily Srila Prabhupada's conception for Gurukula was to produce pure devotees of the Lord who were, knowledgeable in Srimad Bhagavatam and would be great paramahamsas. He was not interested in just producing persons that would be popular amongst materialistic society. So, but a little bit of history, I think he, at one time, sometimes he would say a little history, and then other times he would say, what is history? Real history is Mahabharata. That is real history. What do we need all this history of these foolish persons? We want to hear about the great souls, the Mahajanas. So, yes, again, we have to remember what is the goal of life. What are we really here for? We want to become pure devotees of Krishna. And to become a pure devotee, the more we hear about Krishna, the more we'll become affected and pure. And the more we hear about mundaners, the more we'll become affected and impure. That's just the facts. That's stated in Bhagavad Gita. Dhyayato vishayam pung sangat sanjayate kama. By contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment for them. From attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger, etc., etc. I'm not an authority on this subject. Nor do we really... It was a question about the life of Lord Jesus Christ and whether he was crucified on the cross or whatever. I'm not an authority, and besides that, Srila Prabhupada has not encouraged us to enter into these kinds of discussions, because there's a lot of different opinions and there's a lot of different controversies, and different people have different views, and it's difficult to prove anything. How are we going to prove? You can say something and someone will say, no, you'll have it. So it actually becomes quite argumentative and difficult to establish. Whereas that is the benefit of having Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, where we can point authoritatively to these scriptures and base our statements on that, and then there's no argument, at least amongst sane persons. So the basic thing that Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas gained from Lord Jesus Christ is that he taught that we should love God with all our heart and all our soul, and we should live a life completely dedicated to God. That's the main thing to learn from his life. They overemphasized the whole business of his death. Prabhupada didn't appreciate that they used the symbol of Jesus on the cross. He said it's ghastly. They shouldn't portray the spiritual master in that way. They shouldn't want to see him, in a suffering or at least being, crucified state. And plus, he said, by doing that, by portraying him in that way, they continually keep the strife or the strain between, the different religious organizations. So it doesn't help to bring about peace by doing that. And plus, they also use it in the wrong way, that because, this pitiable scene of Jesus being crucified, therefore he died for our sins and we can go on sinning. That's another way they've misused that. So in other words, they misused the whole thing. They've misunderstood his birth, his death, and while he was living also, for sense gratification. It all boils down to sense gratification. Okay. Yes? Oh, yes. See, when we speak of revelations, we speak of revealed scriptures, those revelations that are coming from the Lord and his great devotees, and that's revealed to us. Rather than, as you say, because it may be from our minds, someone may wake up and think, that he's gotten revelations. But unless it's confirmed by the guru, the shastra, and the sadhu, then it can't be accepted. Okay, we'll stop there. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.